what does a virus sound like? Now, I'm not talking about hacking and coughing and sneezing, and it may indeed seem like a strange question, but it is one that scientists have been attempting to grapple with in a bid to find out whether we can better defend ourselves against these entities and also gain new insights into how they operate inside our cells. Elad Harel at Michigan State University has got a way to shake virus particles with lasers and then listen to the vibrations to work out what shapes they are and what they're made of and how they work. It's amazing.
We wanted to know if we could track a virus by its sound. Do viruses make a sound? Can you induce them to make a sound? If they do, can we use that to track them and avoid some of the challenges with studying them nowadays?
They're also, some of them, 1/30,000th of a millimeter across. Absolutely tiny. How on earth can you listen to something that small?
We've looked at, you know, very small objects before. We've looked at kind of nanoscale, billionth of a meter. And we knew that we could measure these kind of vibrations. We call them acoustic vibrations. We could do it on these metal nanoparticles. But from a very naive point of view, a virus is a small nanoparticle. It's very well organized and well structured. And we thought, you know, maybe it also produces some kind of ordered vibrations. And we wanted to know if we could pick that up. We knew approximately where we would be looking. It's about a frequency that's a million times higher than what humans can hear. It's something that you need, you know, very specialized instrumentation to detect. And the challenge really was the fact that a virus is, you know, embedded in a very complex environment. If you think about a virus in a cell, there's lots of other material around it. And all of these materials also give rise to different sounds. So what could we pick up the sound in the background of everything else? So this was kind of, you know, trying to pick up the sound of, say, an insect in a forest from hundreds of meters away. That was kind of the technical challenge that we were facing.
How did you do it then? What was the apparatus that enabled you to tune in to the sound of a virus?
What was really amazing was that we could use light both to generate the sound and to detect the sound. So you can think of light as a hammer. Like when you bang on the table with a hammer, you bang on a nail, you bang on the wall, you're really causing vibrations in that material. All those atoms that are in that material, in that table, in that wall, in that piece of glass, whatever it may be, they're all vibrating. So what we did is we used light as the hammer itself. So the light actually caused this virus particle to vibrate at this very, very high frequency. And then to detect that, we used another laser pulse, which actually scattered off the vibrating virus particle. We capture this in a kind of stroboscopic way. So that means that if you've ever been to a disco or to a club and you see that strobe light, right, and it kind of flashes on and off and you see these kind of snapshots of people moving, that's kind of the same idea where we hit this thing with a hammer, it starts vibrating, and then we wait a little bit of time, we take a picture of it. And then we repeat that over and over again, about 100 million times a second. And we build up a kind of a movie that kind of shows a sound wave that goes up and down, up and down. So this virus is really acting kind of like a very small instrument.
Just out of interest, what virus was it that you were using as your test virus here?
It was a rhinovirus. And
so the common cold, the thing that every one of us is suffering
with
at the moment.
Pseudovirus, that's right.
Did you get it from someone in the lab?
We got it from a collaborator who works.
What, from his own nose? Or did, what I meant was, did someone donate the specimen of their own mucus? Because it's so common, isn't it? But more seriously, what is the purpose of this? Is it just that you're stressing the system to prove that you can do this with these tiny entities? Or is it that there may well be an application to being able to probe tissue that's got things like viruses lurking in it like this?
We see its two main applications. On one hand, diagnostics. You can imagine, you know, now you need PCR. You can't detect whether the virus is actually, whether the infection is active or not, because the virus may have already ruptured and you're detecting really the genetic material inside of the virus. So here we have a method that we can detect the virus at the single virus level. That's just one virus particle. So we have kind of the ultimate limit of, you know, sensitivity. And so you can imagine detecting viruses very, very early on before the onset of any symptoms. And because you can do it with light, you could even do it at a distance without making any physical contact. On the other hand, we're primarily interested in the applications, understanding how viruses actually function. What are the dynamics of viruses? How does a virus assemble? How does a virus disassemble? How does a virus attach to a receptor? How does it get brought into the cell? If you can track that in real time, which is what we're trying to do now, you could develop antivirals by targeting any part of the virus life cycle to really speed up and streamline that process of trying to understand how drugs interrupt the binding or some other process where viruses can replicate and can, infect you and make you sick.
Cool, isn't it? That was Elad Harel at Michigan State University. He just published that discovery in PNAS.